Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
A Wisconsin studio owner, Eric LaBrosse, 41, accused of grooming a 13-year-old girl on Snapchat, picking her up and raping her at Cherry Pit Recording Studio for $60.
What?
He saved her private pics on Snapchat. He was charged with child sexual assault, enticement, prostitution, solicitation, and child porn. He was arrested at the studio's tenants watched. This is the type of white degeneracy racists ignore while pushing agendas. So you have hot wings.
What's honey. On there? What is it?
Garlic, heat, and honey. I will not be having any of that.
So I made, well, Michelle and I made, what did we put? 2, 4, 6, 7 of them. And then we threw some, what kind
potato
of
wedges.
The wedge fries. And then I'm probably going to just use some, you know what? I do like blue cheese for wings.
Same.
More than ranch. I didn't used to like ranch, but ranch is okay. Oh, y'all know ranch dressing was invented by a black person, too.
Get out of Dodge.
Go look it up. Yep. Go look it up, y'all. Yep. A black person invented the doorknob, the door handle.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of other things. So I bought these sodas. I went to get cigarettes, and I bought these Coca-Colas. You know, I didn't need the Coca-Colas, but I was like, Michelle could probably go for a soda because she has urges for sodas every once in a while. So I was like, let me get two. They're kind of flat.
They're a little flat, yeah.
So I'm a little upset about that. But it is what it is. I could have shook the bottle up before. That's what I should have did. But okay, so we got chicken wings, and then we got fries going. And that pie was good.
Oh, the cheesecake?
Hmm?
Is it gone already?
No, there's still like half of it in there. That cheese, it's like a, not a lava cheesecake.
Burnt cheesecake.
You ever call it like a burnt cheesecake? Ooh, good. Sorry, I'm smacking. The wings are good.
Yeah.
Yes, baby, they're perfect. As you know, as perfect can be or whatever. Yep. And we pretty much eyeballed them. They're perfectly cooked. Yep.
Nice.
So recommend Wild Fork. Oh, and shout out this olive oil that we love. Well, Michelle like came up on it. It's called Graza.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Sizzle extra virgin olive oil. It comes in like a green like bottle, and then it has like the it has a squirt top too, so you don't have to like put your thumb or finger over it, you know what I mean, when you're pouring. So it's perfect. And honey is my new best friend. I didn't used to like honey back in the day. I've been like liking honey and stuff over the last probably about month. I'm about to put some more on my chicken wings, like the little clover honey bear bottle. Yep. Wait for these fries to get done. And then go watch a little basketball. We got some more stories to read. So I'ma got this story right here. I'm gonna say I got this story right here. About stolen land. Alright, y'all.
A imagine a world where California, Texas, and a handful of other states weren't part of the United States, but instead belonged to Mexico. Sounds impossible, right? Well, in the early 19th century, that's exactly how things were. Welcome to Documentify TV, where we unravel the mysteries of history. If you enjoy our content, do hit the like button and subscribe to our channel. Today, we journey back to the period between 1846 and 1848, an era marked by a pivotal war, the Mexican-American War. This was a conflict that forever transformed the political landscape of North America and facilitated the United States' evolution into a continental power. The reasons behind this war were manifold and complex, deeply rooted in political ambitions and territorial disputes. In the early 1840s, the United States, under the banner of Manifest Destiny, sought to expand its boundaries from coast to coast. Mexico, on the other hand, was a young nation struggling to stabilize after gaining independence from Spain. The tension escalated when Texas, which was a part of Mexico, declared itself an independent republic in 1836. When the United States annexed Texas in 1845, Mexico didn't recognize this annexation, leading to the outbreak of war in 1846. As the war raged on, the United States forces emerged victorious in several key battles. By 1848, Mexico, battered and bruised, had no choice but to negotiate. The resulting Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo led to Mexico ceding a massive chunk of its territories, including what are now California, Texas, and parts of seven other states. In exchange, the United States paid Mexico $15 million, a sum that seems paltry considering the vast territories it gained. This war and its aftermath resulted in the United States nearly doubling its size, while Mexico was left with a significantly reduced territory. In retrospect, the Mexican-American War was a pivotal moment in the history of both nations. For the United States, it was a stepping stone towards becoming a global superpower. For Mexico, it was a painful loss of territory, and an event that left scars on the national psyche that persist to this day. In summary, the Mexican-American War was a conflict driven by the United States' ambition of territorial expansion under the banner of Manifest Destiny. The war ended with the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, which saw Mexico ceding large territories to the United States. This war and the subsequent treaty were a significant milestone in shaping the political and geographical landscape of North America. They highlighted the power dynamics between nations and the lengths countries are willing to go to fulfill their ambitions. Thank you for joining us on...
We're sitting here watching, we're waiting for these fries to get done. We're sitting here watching, you know, the driving tours. Like, you can type in whatever state or whatever on YouTube. So we're looking at the California driving tour. So, you know, it's person driving. They don't talk or nothing either, which is cool. And then they just drive around, like, whatever town or community. Like, right now.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
This is this is in California right now. This is New Mexico.
Santa Fe, New Mexico. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And the buildings, the architecture, whatever, them buildings are cool as hell. Mm-hmm. Just the way they're built and, like, the material that they use for that. Like, my favorite kind of house is a Spanish-style house. I always tell Michelle that because we watch House Hunters a lot and shit like that. We were watching that earlier, too. But so we were watching these road tours. But anyways, we were talking about earlier about when we go to California, I was saying to Michelle, and she actually agreed with it. I was like, well, she didn't agree to the van life part of it, but she agreed that it made sense. So I was telling her, like, what if we went out to California, like, however we go get out there, right? Whether it's plane, train, whatever, right? She's not going to drive that far. I'd be down to drive, but we're not, so it is what it is, right? But once we're there, I was thinking, like, okay, well, we're going to rent a car, so we're going to do that. And then I was thinking, why not van life it the amount of time that we're in California. Because think about this, y'all, because some people are probably like, well, how would you do that? Just get a hotel or Airbnb. But think about it. If we van life it for, say, we're there for 4 or 5 days, and we van life it, just think, if you stay in a hotel or Airbnb, no matter where you go to in California, there's going to be, like, places are kind of far away from each other. There's, like, a good amount of driving, which is going to mean gas, time, energy, all that kind of stuff. I heard California traffic can be a little stressful and all that. So just think about it. If you van life it, no matter where you want to go to explore, no matter what town or city, it doesn't matter. You don't have to come back to that hotel or Airbnb. Versus if you get a hotel or Airbnb, you're going to always have to come back to that hotel or whatever, because that's where you're sleeping, that's where all your shit is. So you, no matter where you go, you're going to have to come back there, which means that's back and forth. Versus if you van life it, you can just go wherever and be like, oh, fuck it, we'll just sleep here tonight. You know what I mean? Because you're not driving back to the hotel or the Airbnb. And then it makes the amount of time you're there seem longer, and you can get more done. And you're saving gas. And we be together, too, so it ain't like you have to feel, like, worried or weary about sleeping in a van or, you know, truck or whatever we rent. Because, like, you could go to sleep, right? And I could stay up while you sleep for a few hours or whatever, and then vice versa. You know what I mean? Like, while I'm asleep, you could be up watching a movie or something or whatever, whatever, and then vice versa. So that you don't have to feel weird about falling asleep and being feeling uncomfortable. Because I would imagine if you're a van lifer, people that live like that, even if your van is locked and it's secure and all that shit, you got to feel uncomfortable when you're about to go to sleep. Or when you know you're kind of down for the night or whatever and you're about to, like, lay your head down for the night, you got to feel like someone's going to knock on the door, the window, or you're going to hear someone try to open the door or something. Or
right.
You got to feel a little nervous. Even if you're in the safest spot, but if you're with someone, you know what I mean? You can rest more comfortable.
Yeah.
You can just, like, take shifts or whatever.
Yeah.
Not saying that that's what we would do, but does that make sense, though?
Yeah, instead of wasting our time, like, trying to get back to a hotel.
Because
yeah.
just say we went for 5 days. How much would a hotel cost? Just on a base, just average, you estimate.
That would be like $1,500. Yeah.
Plus the rental for the vehicle.
Yeah.
So you would be saving all that money.
True.
Thoughts. Fries are done.
Okay.
His inaugural speech. It has been a busy half day or so for the new mayor, and now the hard work is going to begin. I want to bring in Gloria Pazmino to talk a little bit about what we just saw. I dare say, Gloria, this may be the first time that we've heard Jadakiss quoted, I think, in an inaugural speech. But this is a moment that people are looking at far beyond New York City. What did you think about what we heard?
That's exactly right, Brianna. In fact, Zohra Mamdani focused much of his speech on exactly that. And he said that people are watching, wondering if progressives can govern. And that is, of course, such a big part of the debate that took place after Mamdani's election. Would he be able to govern this big, complicated city and deliver on the promises that he made during that campaign? And And of course, this is the beginning of that effort. He delivered a speech that really just highlighted, you know, the beauty of New York City. People who are from New York City, people who grew up here, who work here, who have struggled here, could have seen themselves reflected in that speech. He talked about what it's like to be a New Yorker, the culture of New York, the life of New York City streets, but the fact that in the past few years, this city has become more and more expensive and more unaffordable for working class people. He talked about how it's working class people who keep the city running. And his administration is going to be focused on making sure that they can feel like they don't have to leave the city that they call home. That was, of course, the same promise of his campaign. There were a few really sort of important moments during his speech. One of the moments that caught my attention was him saying, "I was elected as a democratic socialist and I will govern as a democratic socialist." And that's just important because of the politics that are attached to that. You know, there are so many critics that have referred to Mamdani's agenda as too radical, as a communist agenda, and as a socialist agenda. But standing on the stage here today, Zohran Mamdani did not run away from that label at all whatsoever. And he said that he would not do so during his time in office.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The next 4 years are going to bring a lot, and he is going to have to balance his commitment to that idealism, that socialist.
This off the Do the Right Thing soundtrack. Play about 2 minutes, y'all. Love this movie. One of my favorite movies. Might watch it this weekend. About to run the microwave for about 20 seconds, y'all. Excuse me, I gotta warm my coffee up. Play about another minute, y'all. Enjoy.
Now it's time during our episode for the Crime Time section. A Lacta Flambeau man faces a charge of attempted first-degree intentional homicide in an attack in mid-December. A criminal complaint says 42-year-old Brett LaBarge hit a woman in the head with a hammer multiple times while she was sleeping. LaBarge reportedly told officers voices in his head told him to kill the victim. The woman was taken to a hospital in Woodruff and airlifted to another hospital in Wausau. She remained hospitalized with serious injuries as of December 17th. Bond for LaBarge was set at $300,000 at a court appearance December 23rd in Vilas County. He'll be back in court for an adjourned initial appearance on December 29th. We'll have to look into that. That was courtesy of WXPR. Alabama was one of only two states in the U.S. that significantly decreased its number of people in state prisons by the end of 2017, but the state's prisons remained overcrowded. That's according to reports released by the Bureau of Justice Statistics, the U.S. Department of Justice agency responsible for collecting the nation's crime and criminal justice statistics. The drop in inmate population between 2016 and 2017 came during a period in which the DOJ was in the midst of investigating reports of rampant violence, sexual abuse, and living conditions within the walls of Alabama state men's prisons. That investigation, which began in the fall of 2016, led to a report issued earlier this month and a deadline by the DOJ for Alabama to take steps toward fixing the problems or face legal action. The decrease noted in the report kept pace with a national trend as incarceration rates in both prisons and jails nationwide shrank by more than 10% from 2007 through 2017. Over that decade, the national incarceration rate among state and federal prisoners sentenced to more than a year also dropped by 13%. Still, the numbers gave a mixed picture for Alabama, which decreased its count of sentenced prisoners by 4,080 from 2016 to 2017. The decrease likely reflects sentencing reforms enacted 6 years ago for nonviolent crimes, which were aimed at sentencing fewer offenders to prison. The Alabama legislature is expected to consider more sentencing reforms this session. But between 2016 and 2017, the state saw one of the largest increases in the U.S. of people newly sentenced to more than a year behind bars in state and federal prisons. That figure was up by 1,400, the report stated. And advocates say the number of people going in is still getting higher. The Equal Justice Initiative states on its website that ADOC, that's Alabama Department of Corrections, reported admitting more than 14,000 people in 2018, the highest number of admissions in a single year in the department's history. Brock Boone, an attorney for the ACLU of Alabama, said the number of people admitted last year shows that reforms are still not anywhere near where they need to be. Parole should be expanded along with rehabilitation and treatment programs. However, Bennett Wright, executive director of the Alabama Sentencing Commission, said the large number of admissions reflects the total number of people coming into the custody of the DOC. That means inmates not only in prisons, but those being held on probation and parole revocations. He said he believes sentencing reforms and the 2015 reforms to probation and parole are working. Obviously, given the DOJ report, there's still a lot of issues regarding the physical prisons, the pay of guards, the number of guards, and health care, he said. But the numbers since 2013 show these reforms have been successful, and the state needs to continue those efforts. Wright said he expects some form of further sentencing reform sometime within the next month from the legislature. Alabama held 27,608 inmates in its state and federal correctional institutes by the end of 2017, according to the report. Of those, 12,600 were white and 14,857 were black. There are no figures for the number of Hispanic inmates. In the latest internal report of facilities, the Alabama Department of Corrections has 27,242 in its custody, which includes all inmates serving time within ADOC facilities and programs, as well as in the custody of other correctional authorities such as county jails, other states, community correction programs, and federal and private prisons. Nationally, the imprisonment rate for sentenced black adults declined by 31% from 2007 to 2017 and by 4% from 2016 to 2017, the largest declines of any racial group. But the imprisonment rate for sentenced black males was almost six times that for sentenced white males. Overall, the rate of inmates serving sentencing of 1 year or more in Alabama prisons dropped from 571 per 100,000 to 486 per 100,000, a rate surpassed only by nine other states. There was little surprise in one notation about Alabama's state prison system in the report. The majority of Alabama prisons are overcrowded. According to the Alabama Department of Corrections internal overview in 2017, the state's 15 medium and close security prisons at the time were occupied by 160.5% more inmates than they were designed to hold. Torture, rape, and murder. Shocking details have come out from the federal investigation of Alabama's prison crisis. Alabama prisons have the highest homicide rate in the country, according to the U.S. Department of Justice. Alabama's overcrowding, aging prisons were only one area of focus in this report on Alabama's men's prisons by the U.S. Department of Justice, which found there is reasonable cause to believe conditions in Alabama prisons violate the Constitution. The report said Alabama prisons have the highest homicide rate in the nation and that violence has increased dramatically in the last 5.5 years. The report also shed light on other areas of the state's prison picture. The number of Alabamians held in private prisons was down 24%. From 2016 to 2017, but that number of prisoners, 348, makes up barely 1% of the total incarcerated people. The state also held 817 non-U.S. citizens in federal and state prisons, or about 3.7% of its total imprisoned population. Only 17 prisoners statewide were the age of 17 or younger. Nationally, the prison incarceration rate dropped 2.1% from 2016 to 2017, bringing it to the lowest level since 1997. The rate of people in jails also decreased by 12% from 2007 to 2017, but did not decline from 16 to 17. Half of jail inmates were white and a third were black. In fact, the demographic characteristics of people in jail shifted from 2005 to 2017. During this period, the percentage of white prisoners increased by 44% to 50%, while the percentage that was black decreased from 39% to 34%. The Hispanic proportion nationwide remained unchanged from 2005 at 15%. At the end of the fiscal year 2017, nearly half of all federal prisoners were serving a sentence for drug trafficking. The report on jails did not provide any state-by-state numbers.
Hey, baby, may I ask you a question real
Yes.
quick? Yes. Because I noticed when you were reading, you said half the prison population is white people.
Yeah.
Is it probably because Alabama's mostly white people in that state?
Oh, I don't know what the...
Overall, I would think.
I don't know what the demographics
we'll
are
have to
of
look
Alabama.
Into that later.
I can look it up while we're... Alabama demographics.
I got some chicken wings and rubbing on just waiting for the basketball game to come on and we'll just...
Okay, you're right. Alabama's demographics show a significant white majority, followed by a large black or African-American population with smaller growing Hispanic, Latino, and Asian communities.
I thought that was very interesting that they don't have the Latin numbers.
For the prisons?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder why that is.
Probably because it's such a low percentage in Alabama. I'm just assuming.
I ain't even trying to be funny either. I wonder why that is.
Okay, but look at the numbers. So yeah. For Alabama, the state of Alabama, white non-Hispanic is around 64.7% to 65.3%.
Mm-hmm.
Black or African American non-Hispanic is around 26.4% to 26.09%. That doesn't even make sense. Percent. Hispanic or Latino is around 4.9%. Considered an ethnicity, not a race.
Oh, okay.
Asian is 1.4. American Indian or Alaska Native is 0.4 to 0.6. And then there's two or more races that are not identified here in the center.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
That's 3.7 to 4.5%. So there's probably not enough Hispanic or Latino people in prison to even register a number. Like it might be less than, I feel like if it's less than 1%, they don't factor it in.
Or they've been mass deported.
Well, this article is not like brand new. This is according to 2017 information.
Oh, okay.
So I would say like most reports, if it's less than 1%, or 2%, they don't even, like, factor it in.
That's true, yeah.
So, yeah, so that's kind of the crime time that I have for now. If I find any others before we publish this episode, I'll add. So, okay.
Rest in peace, Rob Reiner. Let's check out what he was talking about.
That 46% represents 25% of the country. And 25% of the country, whether it's 25, 20, 30%, are hardcore racist. And 25% of the country, whether it's 25, 20, 30%, are hardcore racist. They do not want to see brown people coming into America. That's just what's going on here. I mean, think about this. Immigrants are less likely to commit crimes than people who live here. People who are striving so hard to get to this country want a better life coming into America. That's just what's going on here. I mean, think about this. Immigrants are less likely to commit crimes than people who live here. People who are striving so hard to get to this country want a better life.
Rest in peace, Rob Reiner. No lies detected. So I'm about to play this audio clip. If there's an ad, just bear with me. You know, only be a few seconds. So this is out of La Crosse, Wisconsin. So this white dude, I just said it because it's audio podcast, y'all, don't be getting upset. Said, this fella is in police custody after a crash on the morning of New Year's Eve. Yeah, dude crashed into like a gas pump or something. Let's see what's going on.
A single vehicle accident at the George Street Quick Trip in La Crosse. Andrew Hermes lost control of his vehicle and hit a gas pump. Police saying he was fleeing from them after driving at a high rate of speed. He sustained non-life-threatening injuries in the crash and was arrested on OWI charges.
Let me read this. Yeah. So a man is in police custody after a crash on the morning of New Year's Eve. According to La Crosse Police, officers responded to a single vehicle accident at around 8:41 a.m. at the West George Quick Trip. Upon investigation, officers discovered that the vehicle involved in the accident was the same one that had fled from an officer earlier that morning when the officers observed the vehicle speeding. The driver, identified as Andrew Herms, sustained non-life-threatening injuries in the accident. Herms was arrested and faces multiple charges, including operating while intoxicated, OWI, first offense. That means that's just the first one he's been caught for. First degree reckless endangering safety, vehicle operator flee / eluding officer, and misdemeanor bail jumping. Yeah, that fella's in trouble. All right, y'all, life's about choices. Here's another one. So this is from ABC Channel 7, WSAW-TV. This is out of Wisconsin, y'all. So this former Marshfield St. Vincent de Paul director charged with embezzling funds. Yep, this white lady, she must have been in charge of like the St. Paul. That's like basically like a Goodwill type place. So it sounds like she was stealing money and shit. Let's see. That's crazy, y'all. Trying to get this volume here together. I don't know why. Okay, here we go. Don't mind this little ad, y'all. I hope the volume's on. If it's not, you know what I mean? We'll just keep it moving. She stole around $120,000. God damn.
Are facing for stealing over $100,000 from their organizations. Now the district attorney is moving forward with prosecuting both women involved. Our Sean White joins us now in studio. Sean, after hearing from the Wood County DA today, where do both of these cases stand right now?
Dale, both Trisha Hebert and Eileen Peterson are expected to appear back in court again on January 6th. Hebert is the former outreach director of St. Vincent de Paul in Marshfield. Peterson used to be the executive director of Ronald McDonald House Charities in Marshfield. Yeah. After appearing in court today without a lawyer, Hebert's preliminary hearing is now rescheduled. She's accused of mismanaging $100,000 by taking the money through ATM withdrawals, Quick Trip purchases, and more. Peterson was charged last month and is accused of stealing around $120,000 from RMHC of Marshfield between June 13, 2022 and June 12, 2024. She moved funds from the charity to her personal PayPal and bank account.
Damn.
Having to have both of those open with significant nonprofits who do a lot of good for a lot of people during the holiday seasons and all throughout the year is difficult and feels bad, but we go where the investigations take us, and I believe they've done a good job of getting good information so that I can continue this prosecution.
Barnett says having these two cases affect two large nonprofits like this is strange. Hebert argues her case is, quote, a nonprofit wrongfully accusing someone, and she's writing a book to tell her story. In a statement today, St. Vincent de Paul of...
It's a Method Man and Dave East, y'all. I can play about a minute and a half. Enjoy. Last week of the NFL season coming up this weekend, Packers are locked into that number 7 spot. I'm hoping they don't play any of their starters. There's no need to. And I hope we play the Bears in the playoffs again so we can go on and knock them out the playoffs. How fitting would that be? Shout out the states of Georgia, Cali, Florida, Wisconsin, Illinois, Australia, London. Shout y'all out, we appreciate it.
So y'all know, well, I just recently found that out from watching something on YouTube. It was about New York City, you know, and they were talking about the boroughs and stuff like that. Come to find out that Staten Island, that is the most MAGA-y slash Republican, you know what I mean? As far as New York goes, Staten Island is like the Republican section slash MAGA section. Yep, I didn't know that. I did not know that. I was watching something on YouTube. Shout out to Peter Santinello. He has a YouTube channel. He's been to Milwaukee before as well. I wish he would have hollered at some other people when he came here, you know, to talk about what's going on in the city and stuff like that. I wish he would have reached out to some better people. But other than that, no, his show is excellent, though. Y'all go check out Peter Santinello on the YouTubes. But anyways, he did a piece on New York, and he visited that Staten Island because I guess he hadn't been there before and stuff like that. And it's kind of like, out of the boroughs, it kind of gets mentioned kind of the least. It doesn't get talked about that much, I guess, or whatever. For good reason, though. Now, come to find out, like, Staten Island is, like I said, they're like the MAGA slash Republican part of New York. So, obviously, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I definitely could not live in Staten Island. After hearing that, I'm like, oh, okay, that's where... Because, you know, New York is pretty much Democrat. It's like Chicago. It's like Illinois. It's going to remain blue. You know, I know there's certain little pockets that are red, but for the most part, New York is blue. So, you know, I was kind of surprised when I heard that there's a lot of Trumpers and Republicanese that, like, live in Staten Island. So anyways, this clip, this audio clip I'm about to play. So basically, if you're Democrat, you know, left-leaning, black or brown, don't go to Staten Island. Like, if you're looking to go to New York or whatever, you know, stay away from there. Because you want to be around, no matter where you go, you want to be around people that kind of think, act, look, you know, like, similar to you. So you just feel comfortable. You're going to a totally new place. Why wouldn't you want to be comfortable? You know what I mean?
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
But anyway, so yeah, avoid Staten Island, you know, if you're a Democrat like Michelle and I are, and you're looking to travel to New York or whatever, or move there, yeah, stay away from Staten Island. Anyways, here's another reason why. So this is basketball related now. So, you know, there's a couple sets of twin brothers in the league. You know what I mean? You got the Wagners. Mo and Franz, they're from Germany, they're twins. They do look a little different, but they're twins. And you got the Champigny brothers. You got Julian and Jillian, I think. I hope I'm not butchering the other one's name and shit. But this is Julian Champigny. Okay. So let's listen to what he's saying. He's letting y'all know he's from New York. He said he's from Brooklyn. Don't be getting him confused. He said don't. He basically don't like that Staten Island shit. Check it out. I think he's basically saying don't be mixing me up with no Republicans now. I am not from Staten Island. I think it's his point. Let's listen in. Yeah, he can hoop too. I'm trying to think if him or his brother is actually better. Because he has a brother that plays for Washington. Let's see.
I'm from New York. I'm from Brooklyn. Good.
Yeah, I'm from New York. Yeah, I'm from New York. I'm from Brooklyn. And I don't know.
Not Staten Island.
Yeah, please. For the record, no Staten Island. You have to fix that. And I don't know.
Not Staten Island.
Yeah, please. For the record, no Staten Island. You have to fix that. Right.
One more time for the people in the back.
Yeah, I'm from New York. Yeah, I'm from New York. I'm from Brooklyn. and I don't know.
Not Staten Island.
Yeah, please, for the record, no Staten Island. We have to fix that. But yeah, no, I'm from Brooklyn, New York, so I get to go back and see some family, see some of my my wife's family. It'll be fun.
Yeah, people are like, no, don't be mixing me up with no Staten Island and shit. You know what I mean? So, yeah, shout him out. All right, y'all, but we have made it to the weekend. It's Friday now. I thought yesterday was Sunday. Like, a few different times. I was like, it's Sunday. I was like, no, it's not. Like, when I woke up yesterday, it felt like I was waiting for football to come on. For NFL to come on. Yeah. And, like, today is Friday. But it kind of feels like a Thursday or something to me. I don't know. But either way, Michelle and I got to work today. I just have to work till 11. She's going to go in the office and then till 11. Well, I'm going to pick her up on my way home. So she's just going to go in for about 4 or 5 hours too. I think she said mainly she wanted to come. She's going to actually work, but she said she wanted to go in and like water her plants and like do some other things with her office. You know what I mean? Because she hasn't been there in a few days. So she's like, my plants are probably like begging for water. So she's going to go do that stuff or whatever. And then I'm going to pick her up on my way home from work. Yep. This is my year, y'all. I can finally say that I'm going to be, you know, that I'll be getting off parole this year. Because in the years past, it was always like, oh, well, you know, I'll be off parole in a couple years or next year. Or I'm telling y'all, and I know like, well, some of y'all can relate to this. I know it's got to be at least a few people that are listening that have been to the joint. And you kind of, you know, you can relate to what I'm talking about. You don't even have to be living in the same state. Prisons are pretty much the same. I mean, there's different little rules here and there. But for the most part, they're all the same. You know what I mean? But, man, this is my year. Like, I remember, I'm going to just say this real quick. I remember, like, when I first got sentenced and all that. Like, when I first, like, got locked up and arrested, all that shit, right? And I remember, like, after getting charged, I'm on a forgery charge. Like, I got robbery stuff, too, but I'm doing two sentences. That's why my probation and, I mean, my parole and all that shit is so long. Because I was doing time under old law sentence, you know, before truth and sentencing. So I was on a case from that, robbery. And then when I caught the forgery, not caught, when I committed a crime, the forgery in 06, that was truth and sentencing now. So when the judge gave me 3 years for that, that means I had to do the whole 3 years. But it was separate. You know what I mean? So basically, I was doing two separate sentences. And then getting revoked and all that. Like, that's why I have so much. That's why I'm doing so much time, y'all. Between in and out. That's why. Oh, man, I was just. I ruined a lot of my life. Let me tell y'all something real quick. I literally thought about this yesterday, right? I have given the state of Wisconsin, between jail and or prison, I have been incarcerated a total of 15 years, y'all. 15. Quince. That's 15 in Spanish. I ain't given these bitches 15 years of my life. Yep. Check it out, y'all. Beat my 20s. Okay, just take it by the decades. Because this is a point I was trying to make. See, a lot of people, like, you can, like, have, like, mishaps happen in your life. Let's say when you were, let's say you're 40 years old now, right? And you're looking back on your life. Or let's say you're 50. And you're looking back on your life, and you're like, okay, let's set the scenario. You've never been to jail or prison. You know, no legal trouble like that or whatever, right? You finished high school. You know, might have went to college. You did a little bit of college, and then, you know, you got to working and stuff. You've been just maintaining, working, holding down a job, staying out of trouble, taking care of your family, if you have family, if not, whatever, whatever, right, your scenario is. Boom. Now, let's say you're sitting there reminiscing, thinking about your life, and you're like, dang, like, and you're saying to yourself, well, I wish, like, when I was 20, or I wish, like, when I got 40 years old, I really wish I would have had a better job, wish I would have had more money in the bank, wish I would have, like, went and finished school, I wish this, or blah, 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 right? I wish I would have been better in that relationship, or I wish I would have took this job more serious, or I wish, whatever, right? You're kind of like doing and saying that kind of stuff, and you're like, and then you're like, well, dang, like, can't get that time back, and I wish, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of messed that period of my life up, blah, 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 right? But at least you have those memories, like, because even though you may not have had that job you wanted, you may have not have been doing as good as you, or whatever, right? But you were still free. You were maintaining. You're staying out of trouble for the most part, making good decisions. You were taking care of your responsibilities, right? But you look back on it like, dang, but I wish this or I wish that. But at least you still have those memories. You still have those periods. You still have those moments. You are still accomplishing stuff. And, you know, so to speak, getting ahead. You know what I mean? So at least when you look back, like, you, it's not like you're looking back and saying, like, damn, like, you know, when I was 20, when I was between 20 and 25, like, I was locked up. Like, at least, you know what I'm saying? Like, versus me, between my 20s, I spent 7 years of my 20s locked up. Take that back. No. I spent, okay, between 20 and age 30, so that's that 10-year, so that decade, I spent 4 of it locked up. So I spent, so my 20s, that decade, I only spent 6 years of it free. And the other 4, I was locked up, like in and out, but locked up. And then in my 30s, so between the age of 30 and 40, I spent 7 years of that locked up. And was only free 3 years of it. So basically between the ages of 20 and 40, I spent, yeah, half of that in, half of that out. If you want to basically average that out. Yeah. Because between age 20 and 30, I spent 6 years of that out free. And the other 4, I was locked up. And then between age 30 and 40, I spent 7 of it in and 3 of it out. Yeah. So, yeah. So, what's that like, 10? So, I spent basically between 20 and 40, I spent half of it in, half of it out. You see what I mean? So, I can't. So, now at my age of 50, I am kind of playing catch up. Because I can't go back, like, so for the 4 years of my 20s at where I was just incarcerated, it's basically like you have zero memory of that. They're like, I don't have memories to go off of, or like I wasn't working a job, I wasn't, you know what I mean? Even if it wasn't exactly what I wanted, or the best job, or the best, or whatever, at least I was free, and I was every day, you know what I mean? Doing something, being productive, and doing like the, versus someone that's locked up, you know, those 4 years are just gone. You're not creating memories in prison. You know what I mean? So now at this moment, at the age of 50, for me, I am kind of playing catch up. I can't be like, oh, well, yeah, those 10 years I lost or whatever, it's just like there's literally no memories there. At least for someone that's free, at least you have those memories there. They may not be exactly what you wanted to. Like I said, you might not have been doing as great as you wanted to, but at least those periods of your life are present and they're there. And you have those memories to go off of. And take into account, you can't get lost time back. It ain't like you can go back and relive and replay that period. So those chunks and periods of my life are just gone, missing. You know what I mean? So, That's what's crazy. That's why. So when you think about it, when people are like, you know, so for someone that's been locked up, you know, and then like you hear us kind of talking about like we're kind of getting in that mode sometimes where we kind of get down. You're like, man, I wish I would have did this. I wish I would have made better decisions, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? It's because we long to get that time back, and you know you can't. So now at this age, I got to start just creating these new memories. You know, so I am playing catch up. Do y'all see what I'm saying? But one thing I've done, like I said, I've never blamed anyone. Well, not never, but I don't do that anymore. I don't blame people for the decisions I made when I was out being criminal and shit. You know, I made my own bed. I had to lie in it. But yeah, y'all. So, but my point is, I guess life's about choices. Stay the fuck out of jail and prison. You know? There's no place to be. It's unproductive. You know what I mean? Because the majority of time, even when you're I don't care if you got a job in there, and you can be doing the best like that a person in prison can be doing, but it's still unproductive for the most part. Because the majority of the day, you're still just chilling. It's downtime. You're not doing anything. You know what I'm saying? All right, but anyways, y'all. So basically, I guess I'm just saying, if you're heading out to New York, please avoid Staten Island. Unless you are a Republican. I don't know why you would be. You know what I mean? All right, y'all. This is my year, though. Ooh, excuse me, coffee burp. This is my year, though, y'all. Like I said, Michelle and I are Democrats. We hate Donald Trump. You know what I mean? And, yeah. But anyways, enjoy the music, the clips, and the content. Go do something good for somebody. You know what I mean? And please listen with an open mind and spread the word. Like I said, y'all can, if y'all want to go listen to like all of our episodes or whatever, you know what I mean? You can go check them out on Podchaser. They got all of our episodes, yep. All of them. So go check those out and spread the word. And like I said, we hope everyone's New Year's Eve went well. And we hope everyone's New Year is off to a great start. And just keep in mind, if you're going through something negative or whatever, just keep in mind, everything is temporary. Even bad stuff. All right, y'all? Shout out Collectivo Coffee 1L, drinking out of the Nina Simone cup. All right, y'all?
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.